Hello and welcome back to another edition of NEEMT Radio. I'm your host, Rob Lawrence, and this is edition 31. And one of the reasons that we have NEEMT Radio is because of my two guests here today. I would like to welcome President Susan Bailey and President-elect Chris Way. Thank you for commissioning NEEMT Radio and welcome to the show again.
Hi, Rob. We're glad to be here. Thank you.
Very excited, as always, and we are excited about the product we've produced and think you're doing a great job, so thank you.
Thank you. I'll take that as my annual appraisal then, in which case. And this is 31. We've reached a milestone. We passed episode 30, and I think what is really cool about NEEMT Radio is just the range of guests we've had on. We're not talking about policy. We've had clinical topics. We've had operational topics. We've had leadership. And really, it's a range of discussion around the whole of the association, and I think the folk that have commented on that have really appreciated us not being just the one-trick pony, so that's really cool. And thank you for sending all these folk my way to have a chat with them. That's fantastic.
Well, I know that EMS is not one-faceted, so the idea that we can hit all of these things that are important to EMS practitioners, maybe not on a daily basis, but as they think about all those things that you just talked about, they all affect the profession one way or another. So it's incredibly important we touch on all of it.
Absolutely. And because this is NEEMT, the N is important here. Normally, we're on some sort of Zoom screen across the country, but I'm actually looking at you two. We're in the same room. This is a real treat because we are here at EMS on the Hill 2024, and we're looking forward to that. And Susan, this is your second presidential year presiding over this. So how are you feeling about what's coming up?
Well, this is an exciting time. We have almost 250 attendees covering almost all of the states and Puerto Rico. So we're excited to be here. We're excited to go on the Hill tomorrow and talk to our congressmen, our senators, and their staffers on what EMS is about and what needs to help EMS and help our profession in the upcoming years.
So one of the reasons for doing the podcast also today is because we're on the Hill, what will in fact be tomorrow. When you're listening to this back, it will be last week. Been there, done that. But the point being is that the legislation that we're about to discuss is not just a one and done. It's not just about being up there at EMS on the Hill. These are things that are ongoing that NEEMT and indeed its partners are supporting. And we'll hear from, as EMS on the Hill goes on, from our various association partners. I know that Randy Strozik and others are in town to support NEEMT's efforts on the Hill. But the things we're about to discuss are ongoing until we've got them fixed, right?
That's right. So they're going to continue. So even if you're not here in Washington, D.C., you can still continue to help advocate for the bills that we're going to discuss to move EMS forward. And it's talking about SIREN grant funding. It's talking about treatment in place. It's talking about Medicare add-ons and mobile integrated health. So even from home, you can go to the district offices of your congressmen and senators, and you can ask them to support these initiatives to help improve EMS throughout the country.
Great. And what we want to do now is really take a deep dive into each of the legislative areas to really have a discussion, to break it out, to hopefully break it down a little bit into layman's terms as well for those that are listening, because we want you, the listener, to contribute towards the campaigns, to add your voice, to add your weight, whether it's individual, whether it's organizational, and actually help us get these bills across the line. Right, Chris?
Yeah, I think that's so important, Rob, is that it takes a grassroots effort. Our congressmen and senators don't just want to hear from the national organizations, whether it be NEEMT, whether it be any of the other partners you've mentioned. They want to hear from you as a local EMS provider of how any of these laws would affect you in providing service to your jurisdiction. That is really what we're aiming for. So yes, we want all the people that are here this week to talk to their representatives and their senators from their state. But we want you, as if you're listening and not here in Washington, D.C. with us, we want you to contribute to that by reaching out to them after. The more they hear it, the more they hear something about treatment in place, or the more they hear something about the SIREN Act. And if you're telling the same messages that I'm telling them in person and that our lobbyists are telling them, that begins to stick, and we see a bill move through the process and get enacted into law.
An excellent point, because we're here in DC right now. We're in their backyard, as it were. We're putting uniforms in front of them, or indeed their very essential key members of staff, to make our, to deliver our ask. But of course, these folk all come from somewhere. They come from somewhere near you. You voted them into office. You put them there. And so don't just think because you're not on the Hill with us, we actually need you to be on your Hill in with your boots planted very firmly in the office of in their constituency office, in fact, or their district office, to actually help us, as I say, get these bills over the line. So let's just take the four bills that we're going to talk about today. We'll break them down into parts. We'll start with the Siren Act. Now, Siren, of course, was signed into law in 2018, but that's not done, is it, Susan?
It is not done. We are asking for an increase in funding. We're asking that we include $32 million in fiscal year 2025 budget for the Siren Act grants to provide much-needed resources to already strained EMS agencies working to provide life-saving medical care to the patients in their communities. We have the bill that's reauthorized by Senator Dick Durbin and Susan Collins and Representative David Joyce and Debbie Dingell. They've already introduced these. There's Act Senate 265 and the House Act is 4646 respectively. And so we're asking that $32 million for fiscal year 2025 be added to the Siren Act grants so that we can provide training, we can provide recruitment and retention in rural communities for EMS agencies. And you know, earlier today we were just talking about paramedics and paramedic education in certain, especially rural states, were saying they can't even get paramedics into paramedic programs in their state. And so it's very important that we have this grant funding so that we can help enhance education in these rural areas and these rural communities to get EMTs and paramedics onto the ambulances so that they can serve the communities that truly need EMS response.
Okay, I should also add, if you're out there listening, that all of the bills that we're talking about will be referenced and linked in the show notes. And also go to the back catalogue of NAMT Radio, Susan, because we've had the discussions about ambulance deserts. We've talked about apprenticeships. We've talked about recruiting and retention, particularly in rural areas. And so, therefore, to get this particular bill through is going to help us along the road.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's for recruitment, it's for education, it's for equipment and supplies in the rural areas. And, you know, it is really important if your agency serves a rural area to be in the know about this Siren grant and apply for this money. What we don't want to happen is to have this $32 million be included in the fiscal year 2025 budget and then we don't spend it all. Right, so we want to make sure that everyone who's in the rural areas knows how to apply for this grant funding, and get it approved, and then get applications in so this money can be allocated where it's truly needed.
Excellent. Thank you for that. And so that is Siren. It's Senate Bill 265, House Resolution 4606. Links in the show notes. Moving on, Chris, what's the next one up?
We're going to talk about TIP, or treatment in place. And one of the things... Rob, you talked about a little bit about how EMS has changed or hasn't changed, and I would tell you EMS has evolved. We don't treat anything like we did 15 years ago, even 10 years ago or 5 years ago. You don't treat chest pain like you used to. You don't treat, you don't do CPR like you did 30 minutes ago. But one of the things that's really, really important is that we look at the ability to do treatment in place. So right now, the only way that you get paid for providing treatment is if you transport the patient. And not every patient needs to go to the ER. A diabetic patient is a great example. The diabetic patient, you may wake them up with the use of medication, but do they still need to go to the ER? Do they need help in getting some treatment on scene and then maybe located back into the healthcare system in a different manner than going to the emergency room? And so when we look at that, treatment in place really changes the ability to do that and allows for us as EMS providers to get paid to provide treatment with maybe not transporting them and getting them into a different mechanism of the healthcare system than the emergency room.
So this is one of those elephant in the room questions, right? We had ET3, it came, it went, it went away. It was kind of asking for the same...
Unbeknownst to us, it went away, by the way.
Unbeknownst to us, right. So, but we're not giving up on that. And clearly, TIP is one of those ones where you're rattling the cage here and saying, come on, we've got to do this.
I think as EMS providers, we all recognize that taking people to the ER is not always the best form of treatment. However, in order to have money to operate, because that's the only way we get reimbursed right now, that happens. And we're suggesting that there are better methods to do treatment and provide treatment to the patient, and this is one of those methods.
Excellent. Thank you.
So and in fact, I would just say real quickly that our federal legislators of the year this year, Representative Kerry and Senator Welch, are both our federal legislators of the year because they have introduced the bill, and it's a bipartisan bill. And so we recognize that having bipartisan support in this day and age is almost unheard of. We also recognize that this came from the House and the Senate, and so this was important enough to recognize them as our federal legislators of the year.
I think you make an excellent point there. We're in an election year. It's going to be hot. It's going to be tempestuous. And therefore, to have that level of bipartisan support, I think, is absolutely key. Before we talk about the next two bills, let's just take a second to listen to the smooth tones of Chief Julius Jackson.
Have you thought about submitting individuals or organizations for the National EMS Awards? Each year, NAEMT collaborates with other national EMS organizations to recognize outstanding achievements and contributions in EMS. By submitting a nomination, you not only recognize the candidate, you also honor and recognize the EMS profession. All EMS professionals who provide quality emergency patient care to their communities every day. The 2024 nomination period is now open, accepting nominations through Monday, May 20th. Select an award category, whether it be for an individual winner or an entire EMS agency, and enter via the NAEMT website. The award recipients in each category will receive $1,000 in cash, 3 core program registrations, and $1,200 for travel and lodging at the EMS World Expo, the National Association of EMTs annual meeting, held the same year as the award. Winners are also announced in NAEMT News and EMS World and recognized at the NAEMT General Membership Meeting and the opening ceremony of EMS World Expo each September. For the entry criteria and forms, visit the link shown in the show notes to this podcast or www.naemt.org.
And we're back, and remember what Chief Julius Jackson just told you, that we have our annual meeting coming up in Las Vegas a little later on in the year. We want to see you all there, and also we want you to make sure you put somebody up for one of the awards, whether it's the Organization of the Year, whether it's the Volunteers of the Year, Military Medic of the Year. Again, links in the show notes. Put these people up because we want to recognize them for doing amazing jobs. Also, don't forget, if you're listening to this, make sure you've liked and you subscribed on the platform that you're listening to us on, because when you do that, you get to get notification that we have a new episode of NAEMT Radio dropped. I'm here with President Susan Bailey and President-elect Chris Way, and we're talking about the bills that we're running. We're currently here at EMS on the Hill. So straight back to you, Susan, for briefing number 3, please.
Yeah, one of our asks is going to be about the Medicare add-ons for Ground Ambulance Medical Services Act of 2023. And Congress originally passed this and extended the current Medicare add-on payments through December 31st of 2022. And then we know what happened, right? We know COVID hit, there was a pandemic, data collection was postponed. Congress extended the add-on payments to December 31st of 2024. However, we're asking that these be extended until December 31st, 2027, which will allow enough time for CMS to collect the cost collection data and analyze it so that we can have informed long-term solutions to the chronic underfunding of the ambulance fee schedules, and that they can be adopted and we can have adequate reimbursement from CMS. And so HR 1666 would extend the current add-on payments And similarly, Senate Bill 1673 extends the add-on payments for 3 years, and this will be enough time for us to have CMS collect the data. We will get the reimbursements we need to continue to serve the communities until CMS can collect this data and hopefully come up with a type of reimbursement reform.
I hope we do, because we've all been in this legislative business for a long, long time now, and this is actually an extension of the extension of the extension of the add-ons. Every year we go back and we come round this buoy, as you say, over on this side of the pond again, to get this extended. So you're pinning your hopes, I think, on let's get the cost collections done, let's understand what we're worth in order to make this permanent.
That's correct. So it extends till 2027. We're all, at that time, all of the EMS agencies will be, they're currently required to submit the data. The data will be received. It can be collected, analyzed, and hopefully CMS can come up with a reimbursement rate that will be acceptable to continue to fund ambulance agencies to continue to serve communities.
Great. Thank you. And number four, Chris.
So the last one we're going to talk about is the MIH, or Mobile Integrated Healthcare Bill, and this would create a $25 million grant program federally to support the development of mobile integrated healthcare programs. It would actually allow for an individual agency to apply for up to $750,000 as an agency, or it would allow you to do a joint application for up to $1.5 million. It would also put a federal oversight piece in the Health and Human Services, under the Secretary of Health and Human Services, that would be kind of a board that oversaw MIH in this grant program. And again, I think we all recognize that we can't just provide EMS like we did 20 years ago or 10 years ago. And so the addition of mobile integrated healthcare and really having those EMS providers out in the field going and evaluating those patients and helping determine whether the patient does indeed need to go to the hospital, or maybe they need to go to an urgent care, or looking at whether just entering them into the healthcare system in a different mechanism than they have in the past would really be a very good thing. So this bill was introduced by Representative Cleaver in the House and from Missouri, and I think this is something that many of our members are very passionate about. Again, looking at how we develop EMS and provide EMS in our communities in the future, and so this is really a positive step.
So listening to you describe the four bills, they're all inextricably linked, right? Without, if you're trying to run some sort of community paramedic program because the ambulance in a rural area, because the ambulance is now 50, 60 miles away at the nearest hospital that isn't closed, then you need some sort of local solution. In order to transport the patient, we need to the appropriate level of reimbursement. If we can actually then conduct some sort of treatment in place, even a hear and treat or a hear, treat, and then leave in place, everything works out together, and I think this is a nice package that everybody, both here on the Hill and indeed at home, should be promoting and supporting.
You're absolutely right, and there are things that, listen, we get requests all the time for projects of importance. We have to hit the ones that we are most confident mm-hmm. that will strike a chord, and as you said just a little bit ago earlier in the show, this is an election year, and we have to be sensitive to our asks during an election year. We know that the representatives specifically are all have to get reelected this year, and the senators, many of the senators are up. In fact, this is the biggest election year that a Senate can get reelected. This is the biggest year of that.
I think all of them, isn't it?
No, it's not all of them. It's but it's 34 instead of 33, if I remember correctly. So this is the biggest year in a Senate race. So we have to pick bills that we know are going to be near and dear to getting passed, and not emotional, but rather evidence-based, and pieces that we really feel like the legislators can grab onto and understand.
I think that's actually a masterclass in politics and politicking, of course, knowing the elected audience that you have in front of you, knowing the challenges that they're facing. As you say, they have to get voted back into office, and therefore presenting them with stuff that's actually good for us, but also is hopefully a win-win for both sides, is the way to go right now.
I think, there's nothing that says we wouldn't love to bring 10 or 12 or 15 bills that all bettered EMS. And we can all think individually in our own respective jurisdictions, or we can think collectively as the NAMT board, or we can think even in a bigger group as the EMS profession as a whole. There are definitely things that we'd like to see. But that said, if we're going to be successful, bringing four things forward and really hitting them home and being able to explain how they affect us on a local level in again, those home jurisdictions where the senators and the representatives serve. That's where our win's going to be every time.
Okay, so the bills that we have on the table before us today here in DC are still going to be there when you listen to this podcast. There's still going to be action that you need to take out there to help us get these over the line as such. And so thank you both for doing that. But President Bailey, would you like to give us some final thoughts perhaps?
Yes, I would just encourage everyone to please go to your district offices of your congressmen and your senators that are within your state. Ask them to support treatment in place, mobile integrated health, the SIREN rural grant funding, as well as the Medicare add-ons. EMS is underfunded in so many different areas that any one of these bills, if it passed, would definitely help get EMS reimbursement on track. So we're just asking that you please advocate, do your grassroots efforts in your own state, advocate for the EMS profession, get involved. And again, if you need any help from us, just contact NAEMT. We'll be happy to provide you with talking points or any other information that you need.
Great. Thank you very much. So, Chris, did you want to just give us a quick word before we go?
I do. I just want to thank everybody for their continued support of this event. I do think there's tremendous value of us showing up en masse on the Hill, in our uniforms, and representing not only our areas, but representing our profession. There is great power in that. When we show up, they take notice. But as Susan said, and as you said earlier, Rob, that does not end tomorrow at 5:30. That is the beginning of this year's effort. And then we need to get online and we need to send them letters. We need to show up at the district offices. This is not, legislative efforts are not a week at a time or a day at a time. They are a continuous effort. We as an organization have recognized that it is a continuous effort. We put an amazing amount of resources towards that, whether it be people, whether it be the advocacy committee, whether it be the continuous work on the bills, but it can't just be one group. It's gotta be us as a profession recognizing the importance of doing advocacy.
That was perfect, and if you'll allow the British guy to quote you some Churchill, because what you just said, as Churchill said many, many years ago, was this isn't the beginning of the end, this is just the end of the beginning. So thank you both very much for joining us this time around on NAMT Radio.
Thanks, Rob. Thank you. Appreciate it.
So that was the President and President-elect. Always love having them on. Don't forget, even though we're on the Hill here today, this is a call to action for you to join in and support the initiatives and the bills that we have running. Links are all in the show notes. Thank you very much for listening to NEMT Radio. As always, I've been your host, Rob Lawrence. Links in the show notes. Like, subscribe, and we'll see. Remember, oh, by the way, before I go, don't forget NEMT Radio is published on the 1st and the 15th of each month. We like to keep them current with all the events that are going on around the association. So, for now, I've been Rob Lawrence, and see you later. Bye for now.